are listening to Wells Tech, episode 618, recorded on December 31st, 2019, closing out a decade of podcasts. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today on the show, we look back at the best of 2019 as we close out a decade of Wells Tech podcasts. We had a number of events, some on-location interviews, great ministry resources across the board, and our picks of the week. Sally and I both count down our top five. All that and more. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is 618, episode 618, that is, recorded for December 31st, 2019. And for the last time in 2019, I welcome Sally Draper to the podcast. Hey, Sally.
Happy to be joining you yet again, last time in this decade of podcasting.
That's right. So, we made another one.
Yeah.
We started a decade and a half ago-ish, right? So a new decade. Who knows what's in store? But that's not what this show is about. This show is about a little bit of a look back, kind of the best of. We've done this for many years now. We're kind of have a little fun digging through the archives, looking through the show notes, and figuring out what were the highlights in a number of different categories for the show. So,
yeah. Sorry, I was just going to jump in and say it's kind of an odd feeling for me because I do a lot of the web side of things, and happy to start a new year, but it starts our ministry resource page and our picks of the week page over at nothing. And it always feels so empty. I'll update it for months and months, and it just feels like a really short list. And then all of a sudden, we're at the end of the year, and it's this robust list, and I have a hard time picking from it things to, you know, feature on this last show. And then we start all over again.
So. Right. So how would you characterize 2019, Sally, as far as Wells Tech is concerned? It's big picture.
Yeah, it was an interesting year. It was a year full of events, probably more events, kind of a trifecta of events came about that don't always hit in the same year. So that kept us really busy. And it was also a year where we slowed down a little in some respects because we had for many, many years done a weekly show. Sometimes it had been a video show. We're doing audio only now, but now we're only doing it every other week. And so I think that was a positive change. It was a little hard for me to get used to after being in the weekly cycle for so long, but it ended up benefiting the show, I think, because we have more to bring to those shows every other week.
Gives us a little more time for prep, of course, but it gives a little more time for finding people to interview. People come across our radar and we get a chance to talk with them. And I think those are some of the highlights, at least for me, of the show, just talking to different people and hearing their ministry stories. So, you know, I think overall a good thing, too. You mentioned big events, and you know, we were on the road a number of times, and that's kind of fun, too, where you're in a different atmosphere. You get to talk with different people. You're experiencing different things, and I think that benefits our listeners, too, hopefully.
Yeah, a couple of shows, particularly from EdTech Lead and Synod Convention, where we were, you know, kind of in front of an audience almost, which is a little bit different for Wells Tech. Even the women's ministry conference that I was blessed to be able to attend was a new experience for me because I was kind of like a roving reporter. I had my little microphone and was getting together with people and having them talk about different things at women's ministry. So, yeah, very much busy and fun summer, and it brought a lot of different voices to the podcast.
Yeah, that EdTech Lead Conference was kind of you know, something we had been looking forward to and obviously heavily involved with, along with the Lutheran Schools Office. And but that was not only a neat experience, but also neat to have a podcast from there, too. Lots of special people there.
Definitely a lot of memories made at that event. And I guess we'll look forward already to starting to plan another one before you know it. But I think it's more like 2022 or something like that before we'd be putting one of those on, which is wise because it's not the same summer as Senate convention.
Right.
Spread it out a little bit.
Right. I see a Chinese New Year notation here, Sally. We kind of skipped over the year of the cat. What does that mean?
What does that mean? It means the cats showed up on Wells Tech this year, not just my new cat, but I think Rachel Feld had a reference to a cat in one of the shows that she was on as well. Mm-hmm. So not a topic we've covered in Wells Tech in the past. So
no, we're branching out. Yes, we feel comfortable, well, you know, going beyond technology now. So. All right. Any other episodes, events, milestones that stick out in your mind in looking back at 2019?
Well, I guess this one's just kind of a no-brainer. We turned over to episode 600, or the 600s have arrived on Wells Tech. And I'm sure back in the day when we started this podcast, we weren't thinking of 600 podcasts down the road. But here we are recording 618, so marching on towards 700. And still going strong because technology and ministry is still happening in so many different ways in the church and school setting. And we're just excited to try to keep our finger on the pulse of it a little bit.
Right. You'd be hard-pressed to find too many podcasts that have 600 episodes in the can. We cheated a little bit along the way because we did, you know, some in-between series that gave us a few extra episodes, but we've been at this quite a while, so certainly a blessing to be able to do that. One nice thing about not doing a show every week is I don't have to come up with a show title every week.
You're so good at it, though.
And we had some fun with some show titles this year, didn't we?
We did. I guess I would have to say a bunch of them stuck out as fun. I really like the one with the bitmojis because not just the title, but the image was fun
that
to
was
create
cool.
there,
yeah.
too. But just recently, we had one titled Bible Study in a Tree Stand. I'd say that's probably as unique of a show name as you might come up with.
So. And that essentially came from not us, but a reference to somebody actually saying, you know, I found that was a place where I could do Bible study.
Do my Bible study.
Right.
More power to them.
Just make this stuff up.
So shout out to our wonderful co-host. I mentioned Rachel Feld earlier. Jason Schmidt, who's been with us for many years, is a semi-regular classroom technology correspondent as well. And one of my favorite show titles was Don't Give Jason Your Password. So good advice.
Hello, Jason, I find very trustworthy.
Yeah.
But he would tell you don't give him his
him
your password either. So those are some big high level event type milestones episodes that come to my mind, but we have a number of different segments during the show as well, and they each kind of have their own little set of highlights. And one of the things that we really try and put some energy into, and hopefully our listeners find useful, are the ministry resources section. Sally, you have a favorite of all those resources that we shared over the course of 2019?
I do have a favorite, and listeners won't be surprised to hear me announce this one. I actually listed it as my top pick, and then I went and realized I never made it as a pick. I made it as a ministry resource, and that is the Glide app. That is probably the winner of 2019 for me, just if I had to pick one thing. That's an app that you can use to design mobile apps that are very professional looking and robust, and behind the scenes you do it by controlling a Google spreadsheet, which is just blows my mind still that you can do all that you can do with it. We used it for the EdTech Lead event. I actually helped out with the Minnesota District Lutheran Teachers Conference using a Glide app as well, and coming up soon, the Leadership Conference that's happening in January, I'll be using a Glide app as well. But not only those that we were involved in, we interviewed both Carl Hochmuth and John Witte, who are using them at the high school level for different purposes, and just a super cool tool, and just excited to see how people get creative and use it for ministry.
Great ministry resource. We'll see what happens in 2020 with it as well. I think it's getting some traction. So, one thing that stuck out for me, and I'll just reference an article that we highlighted as a ministry resource, and that is from Outreach Magazine, How to Leverage Podcasting to Reach New People. Not that that was an overly outstanding ministry resource, but I think in general, we look back at 2019 and see the prevalence of podcasts, you know, across our synod. More and more are starting to pop up. It's getting easier and easier to do. We did a number of interviews with people doing podcasting. So that was very cool. And I think it's become more mainstream than ever before. And I think that's a good thing. At least, you know, we're a little bit biased because we've invested a lot of time and energy into podcasting, but I think there's absolute ministry value and, in podcasting. And I think that's a good trend.
I am smiling because I can tell you it's become more mainstream without a doubt, because there are Hallmark movies that have podcasting. Our podcasters doing their thing in Hallmark movies,
right?
Even.
No
so,
kidding.
You know, if it's made it to the Hallmark movie channel, it's,
yeah, that's
it's a
what I always
thing.
Say. Yes.
It's the golden standard. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
All right. Very good. Where do we go next here, Sally?
I think maybe it's your turn to tell us what your favorite interview of the year was.
Oh,
do you have a single one that sticks out to you?
That's easy. I think we mentioned those events, those offsite events that we have, and there's just energy around those. And I think the in the moment kind of feeling that you get doing an interview, you know, on a convention floor, for instance. So I'd say the Synod convention interviews. Not only did we do them audio, but we did them video, which was kind of neat. We talked to some really neat people about their convention experiences. That's always neat, whether it be pastor, teacher, layperson. Just the excitement around an event and a missionary,
mm-hmm.
right? Just opportunities to talk with different people about one of the highlights of our synod work, and that's that convention.
Yeah, definitely a fun event. For me, I noted the women's ministry interviews in a similar fashion. They were just really fun for me to meet the different people there and hear about lots of different angles of women involved in ministry and opportunities for women to get involved in ministry. So I interviewed Michelle Birchbach, who was an attorney and had a lot of interesting insight into what's reasonable, and I don't know if I want to use the term politically correct, but acceptable legally, mm-hmm. In terms of sharing your faith in the workplace, in a non-Christian workplace. So I didn't look to find that interview necessarily, but her speaking was just so incredible, and it was really neat to connect with her. I also talked with your daughter Alicia, and she was just overflowing with excitement for the different things she was involved in her congregation in Howard's Grove. And then Pastor Don Dauberstein, who is our administrator of discipleship, and was one of those who brought just a laundry list of ways for women to be equipped for action, I think is how he titled
mm-hmm.
it. Great yep. stuff happening there.
I mean, some people would say the day of the trade show or the convention or the conference is over, where people don't want to travel, it's expensive. But I find that there are wonderful things that happen at these conferences. You saw it at the Women's Ministry Conference. We saw it at EdTech Lead. You know, any time where people who are of the same mind, you know, of the same ministry mindset, are getting together to share ideas, to encourage one another, and they're always willing to talk to us. It's not that you're pulling teeth at all. They really are excited about what they're doing and want to share what they've learned or what they want to learn.
And then, especially through the use of technology, some of that continues after the conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So making those connections and staying connected with different ways technology can help with that, kind of building your own learning community and or mastermind or however you want to term it, those kind of events kind of lead to that
mm-hmm.
as well.
So it looks like you've got some interview stats here. You want to share those?
Yeah, I was really surprised. I normally make up a compilation page of all the different interviews we do throughout the year. So there'll be a link in the show notes to all these different things we're talking about, including the compilation pages for each of these areas. So the list of interviews for 2019 kind of proves our point that we're able to get more interviews if we do less shows, because there were 35 people interviewed in 36 interviews total. One person was actually interviewed on two different topics. And that was a 67% increase over 2018. So you can count on your Wells Tech team to bring you more and more interviews with people, you know, using tech and ministry in so many different creative ways. And I just was excited and kind of surprised by how many people we had talked to.
And that's a testament to people more willing to share. And that's great. That's a great trend, too, across the center. Is that, you know, if they're doing something and, you know, it's likely that now we're hearing about it, where maybe before we may not have. So that's great news. The next segment, which is, again, one of our favorites. We have a lot of favorites, but one thing that we've been doing forever since the start of the show is our tips and picks of the week. And this little segment for our year-end special, we do a little countdown. We do our top five picks. So, Sally, you want to take a swing at number five on your list?
Sure. Number five on my list is a magazine, but it's also a community, and that is the Make magazine. You can find it at makezine.com, and they actually have a print magazine that you can subscribe to and a ton of amazing articles on their website, all around this maker movement. And that's something I've just been getting more and more involved in, and I'm excited to see it making its way into classrooms, making it. How about that? Making its way into many of our classrooms as more and more focus is on STEM and, you know, group learning and kind of carving your own way kind of mentality with students where they can learn as they do. And Make Magazine is a great thing to get in the mail. Interestingly, at one point in 2019, they announced that they were stopping Make Magazine. So that kind of bumped it up on my list because they decided to keep it after all. They found funding and are able to keep going with it. They actually reduced the size of the magazine, not the number of pages, but actually the physical dimensions of the magazine. So they're printing something a little bit smaller, I assume, a little bit more affordable for them to do the print. And they're keeping on, keeping on. But associated with Make Magazine, there's tons of projects you can do there. In the summer, they have a whole series of projects for kids to do. And they also have maker fairs around the country, and we were able to attend the Milwaukee Maker Fair this year, my husband and I, and that was super cool. And then as an offshoot of that, many communities, especially larger communities, have something called Maker Spaces, where people are getting together and kind of pooling available tools and things, and you pay to have membership, and you can get access to a wide variety of tools for making things. And for the first time, just this past month, my husband and I joined a Maker Space, so we're super excited. I think 2020 is going to be the year that we do things like laser cutting and perhaps welding and who knows what else. So
I can just picture you with a welder's mask on.
Yeah, it's totally me. Definitely. I think they even have a blacksmith forge there. So who knows? But, you know, for us, it's about sharing with kids, and we've done various events and things and hope to do more of that in 2020 as well. So especially with smaller schools that maybe can't bring all of this kind of stuff in, we can do events and things. So that's been a lot of fun for me personally, and just to see the kids, you know, light up around that, it's a lot of fun.
And if llamas are involved, it's even better.
I'm so there if there's a llama, definitely.
All right, my pick number five, a little self-serving because I put some sweat equity into this one, but last year we, this past year, we put daily devotions and Bible readings, the audio versions, on Alexa. Everybody is, and I shouldn't say everybody, many people have a little voice in the box, and we do at our home as well, and or in the car or on your phone. And Alexa can now is smart enough to play some good stuff from Wells Daily Devotions and Bible readings. It's actually very easy to do. It's through the Daily Update tool. So you can kind of script what you want to hear when you say to Alexa to play a flash briefing or play news. She will jump in, spring into action and play whatever is on your scripted list. And the two top things on my list are the daily devotion and Bible reading. So I don't really have to do anything. I just say the word, magic words, and she goes from there, which is really kind of the point, is to make it as to remove as many obstacles as possible. between you and God's Word, and this is just another way to do that. So we've had great feedback, and we don't plan on stopping that anytime soon. So that was my number five pick, and hopefully other people found that useful as well.
So I have a true confession to make. I actually filled out my list completely, my favorite ministry resources, my interviews, my picks, before Martin laid eyes on this list. And I actually had Alexa on my list because I am in love with that feature. I start my day every day when I get in my car telling it to play my flash briefings and listening to daily devotions and Bible readings. And that's something that's been very special for me this year as well. Then I kind of realized, oh, yeah, Martin created that. Maybe he should have the opportunity to announce that.
I appreciate you. The self-restraint was incredible.
It was hard.
There. Yeah. So. All right. Why don't you dive into number four, Sally?
Number four for me is a little piece of hardware. It's only $30, but it's my Logitech wireless keyboard. And I think keyboards are a real personal thing for people. Mm-hmm. For me, this one is kind of like a little chiclet feel. It's small and my fingers know where to go on it. It'll pair with up to three devices by Bluetooth, so you can have your phone on there, or your tablet on there, whatever, and just push a button to switch between them. And the price is right. It's available at your local Best Buy, so easy to get your hands on. And I actually have two of them, one for work and one for home. And so I don't have to think about switching keyboard brain between the two locations. And so I'm a fan of the Logitech K380 wireless keyboard.
Yeah, very inexpensive, and it seems fairly durable.
Yep. So it puts up with me. It's pretty durable.
Right, so. Right. Yeah, you're totally right on with the keyboard is a very personal thing. And to find one that you like and that's reliable, that's nice. I don't know that I would go back to a wired, you know, kind of a traditional, you know, Dell kind of keyboard. I like the flatter ones and the chiclet key feels too. So,
and that's two of us now on the opposite extreme.
It's your husband, probably.
My men at home, yeah. They really like those big wonker keyboards that light up and do all kinds
clickety
of cool
clack
stuff.
Too.
Yeah, it has a certain spring to it.
Yeah.
And noise to it. So,
yeah, that's the maker.
I'm silent. I'm stealthy.
All right, my number four, the Great Suspender. No, it's not an article of clothing. It is a Chrome plugin that actually conserves memory by shutting down or putting into memory, or taking out of memory, I should probably say, unused tabs. So it's got a little timer on it. It says you haven't used what's on this tab for X number of minutes or hours. I'm going to put it to sleep. Essentially. Those of us that use Chrome know that Chrome can bog things down a little bit, get a little sluggish if you've got too many tabs open. And this little plugin is ingenious. I heard that Chrome was going to build this in at some point. I don't think they have yet. So you still need this plugin if you have if you can't control the urge to keep 1,000 tabs open, this will help you out. Totally free. I've never had a problem with it crashing or causing me any issues within Chrome. And I've tried to use other browsers other than Chrome, Sally, and I just keep coming back because it's cross-platform and all of the extensions and plugins. It's just kind of like going home. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it doesn't always behave, and you have to use tools like this to make it a little bit more livable. But good things, good thing that we have something like this to make it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. I'm a Chrome girl too. I hear where you're coming from. So good pick. I have pick number three on my list, and that is a TechSmith product, believe it or not. And I bet if I went back, I should do this sometime, and looked at all of our year ends, you'd probably find a TechSmith product or two on every single year end episode where I've listed my favorites of the year, because they have consistently kept me happy in the area of image and video manipulations. So this year, it's Snagit 2020, the new version of Snagit that came out recently, probably in November, I think, is when they released this. And it's just a nice step up from the previous version. So not a huge amount that I can say about it, except it's a great screen capture tool, and I use it for all types of image editing, except I will say that they added the ability to create your own animated GIFs from images or from a little video. And animated GIFs are where it's at these days. There's loads of fun. I mean, I have a cat now, so being able to do animated GIFs is just kind of a given. You got to have that. But actually, what I really like about doing animated GIFs is that I can embed something with a little bit of motion in video in emails and things. So normally with email, you just would be able to put like a flat image. But having that ability to create an animated GIF, which is an image but has that video kind of component to it, makes it really nice to be able to communicate in one email rather than saying, click here to watch the video or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was a pretty big game changer, and I'm excited to use it more in the future.
Nice. So you use it for how-tos, you know, follow these instructions, that kind of shorter types of things.
Yeah, exactly, where I just want to show them where the link is that they need to click on the big screen that has a million things or whatever. It's easier to do that visually, right. And it saves people time and is appreciated, I think.
Very nice. My pick number three, I think I've actually picked this before as well, Microsoft product called OneNote. It's in that same realm as what are some of the good note-taking apps? Well, they all come with, you know, things like Google Keep and Apple Notes and what's the one?
Evernote.
It's been around a long, long time, just kind of keeps hanging on. But OneNote is, again, one of those tools that is everywhere, and it has everything or almost everything that I do in it. So we're looking at a OneNote screen right now as we're recording this podcast. That's where we do all of our planning and links and so on and so forth. We do much of our documentation in the Senate office, our strategic planning, almost everything finds its way in some way, shape, or form into OneNote. And I use it for personal items as well. So all my receipts and tax returns. And one of the neat things about OneNote is you can make it secure, but it's totally searchable. So you can throw it in here and you can find it again. So organization, while important, isn't the be-all, end-all, the finding stuff, because the search is so good. And it's on your phone, it's on tablet, it's on Windows, it's on Mac, and the experience is pretty much the same. We just heard news, and maybe we shared it on the podcast, that OneNote 2016, which was kind of a fan favorite, it's the Windows desktop version, the application version, is coming back because so many people preferred it over the Windows Store app. So that's good news as well. So if you are, and I've said this many times before, if you're in the market for something to capture notes, whether you're a student or a teacher, pastor, whomever, just needs to store stuff in random formats, and that's what OneNote is also good at, I think this might be the product that is worth a look. And it's the price tag can be free depending on what features you do or don't want. So, Sal, are you at one with OneNote at this point, or do you still fight a little bit with it?
For work purposes, it's the go-to tool, and I do appreciate that it's available on all different platforms and everything. So I guess I'm a big organizational person. I like to have my folder structure or whatever, and to me it's like a big, huge filing cabinet that you can organize really well. You can color tabs and make sub-tabs and things like that, but it's just kind of bottomless. You can put whatever you need to in there, and yeah, the searchability is really powerful.
Yep.
So
you can also use a pen. If you use a pen and you've got a touch screen, you can use that as well. So, and I've done that many times too. I think we're up to number two. Speaking of organization.
Yeah, my number two pick is a hardware pick as well, and it's technology. So I'm putting that out there at the beginning because you're going to kind of laugh when you hear it's actually a writing utensil, a pen, or a series of pens that I found and fell in love with this year. They're the Pilot Frixon pens, and what's special about them is that they're erasable. So I like to do a lot of writing on paper, but I'm not always the neatest person, and I don't always spell the best and things like that. And so having these pens in hand keeps me happy because I can clean up any mess that I make. I used it a lot for my write it down efforts, which is a Bible journaling effort that I did this year and I plan to continue in 2020, where I just copy the verses that are part of the upcoming readings for the coming Sunday into a journal. And I make it pretty with all my colors and things like that, and obviously by being able to erase and keep things neat and clean and stuff. So keeps me happy, and that's a big goal in life. So I enjoy those Pilot Frixon pens.
And these are easy to procure, are they not?
Yeah, they're pretty much in most retail
stores,
like Office Supplies and Walmarts and Targets mm-hmm. have them in a variety of colors. But you can also go online and find highlighters and markers and things like that that aren't as everyday available. So you can definitely get them on Amazon.
You list something called a clicker here. What is that?
Yeah, some of them are stick pens,
okay.
And then some of them have a click to open. Mm-hmm. So there's just different styles.
Gotcha. Very good. My number two is related to security, and it is the tool, the two-factor authentication tool called Authy. And actually, this was a pick not too long ago, so it's pretty fresh in my mind. But whenever you set up two-factor authentication, you need or can have, or probably should have, an app on your smartphone. You can set up two-factor authentication with SMS, where you get texted a code and you plug that in, but that's not as secure because that can be hijacked. So these apps are actually better. And Authy is multi-platform, so you can get it on Mac, PC, phone, you know, whether it be iOS or Android. All works the same, and you can have multiple instances of this, and that is better than, let's say, Google Authenticator and some of the other ones where you can really only have it on one device. Here you can have it on multiple devices. If you lose that device or you it was not handy or whatever, the Authy is a great way to do it. So the way it works is you simply, when you're setting up two-factor authentication, usually they'll give you a little code to scan. So you put your phone, your camera on, and you scan the code with the app open, and then it registers that particular app, whether it's Facebook or Amazon or Twitter or Microsoft or whatever. And then when you go to log in, every so often it's going to challenge you and say, hey, it's been 30 days since you logged in. It's time for you to give me this special code. And that's just a good thing to get into the habit of doing. It's also required when you want to change passwords, those kinds of things. So if you've ever had trouble with, you know, stolen accounts or compromised passwords, two-factor authentication really is the way to go. And a tool like Authy is almost a requirement to make that as painless as possible. So totally free, easy to get. So I'd highly recommend that one.
Security is where it's at these days.
Yep.
So
2019 was pretty much the year of security, too.
Yeah, definitely. All right,
we're
up to
number
one, and mine is a pretty recent pick of the week that I selected for my number one. Once again, a hardware pick, and this time it's the iPhone 11 Pro Max, which is a recent purchase of mine, and it upped the ante. I had a 6S Plus, I think, before, so it's been about 4 years since I had a new phone, and, you know, obviously transitioning from one iPhone to another is a pretty seamless process these days, so it didn't have a huge jump for me to go from one to the other, except there's this massive battery life, and there's this massive increase in screen real estate, and probably my favorite feature is the portrait mode in the phone camera. The camera is just outstanding, and I've enjoyed just playing with that, and I'm looking forward to learning more about that and doing having some great photography under my belt in the coming year. So enjoying getting to know the iPhone 11 Pro Max.
Nice. Yeah, that's fun. A little Christmas early for Sally.
Yeah,
nice.
That's right.
My number one pick is also hardware, and it's actually the computer I'm looking at right now. This was a pick early in the year. I've had it for quite a while, actually. It's the Microsoft Surface laptop, and I make it number one because it's just a good, solid piece of computing hardware, and I would recommend it to anybody who's looking for kind of a light, portable, yet sturdy, reliable laptop. These, you can always find something cheaper, although this is not overly expensive. You can find these for $800 or $900. They do have a touch screen. The keyboard's great. The trackpad's great. They don't fold around and do all kinds of origami shapes. It's pretty it's pretty traditional in that respect, but it just works with Windows software, and that's there's something to be said for that. They're not the most powerful either, but I think for most of our listeners, this would meet most needs. You can obviously do all the Office apps on it, of course. And video viewing and those kinds of things, but it'll even do more challenging tasks as well. So really impressed with the build quality. Just a super easy thing to use. I take it to most meetings, and it's just something that I can highly recommend. I've never had one single issue with it. So if you're looking for a laptop, now the Surface Laptop 3 is out. This is the 2. But I would probably suggest that that's going to be equally as reliable. I think one addition they made, they didn't do a lot to the 3 over the 2, but they gave you a couple varieties of what kind of texture comes on the laptop itself. Or the one that I'm looking at, it has something called Alcantara. It's kind of a soft textured, suede-y feel to it, although you can wipe it off and clean it just like you can with plastic stuff. But they also have a more traditional plastic model as well, if that's your preference. So Microsoft Surface Laptop gets number one this year, Sally.
Woot woot. We probably both missed out on the true number one of this podcast, and that's our listeners. So maybe we should make them a one plus or something. But we wouldn't be doing this if we didn't have listeners. We wouldn't be doing it if they weren't contributing, because relying on our own brains to come up with all this tech and ministry goodness wouldn't get us real far. So we really appreciate you, the listener, and hope that you come back for a new decade of Wells Tech, which will be kicking off soon.
Right. And maybe we might tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, would you join us for an interview?
Wouldn't that be cool?
Please say yes.
Yeah.
All right. We should probably close the show, as we always do, with a video of the week. Sally, what did you come up with this week?
Well, just continuing the celebration of Christmas, I came across a video of one of my favorite bands, The Divers. They're a group out of Bethany Lutheran College, or loosely connected with Bethany Lutheran in Mankato. And they had a song called Let Us Go that I'd never heard, but it's just a beautiful song, kind of like a lullaby, and definitely kind of contemplative for the season of Christmas. So
nice.
Enjoy The Divers.
With that, we close out 2019, and we turn our attention to 2020, a new decade. More of the same from Wells Tech, a new decade of podcasts. Who knows where that will take us? We do know we already have a first show of the year.
Fuck yes.
So show 619, we have a special guest, and we'll give you a little bit of a tease, and that is there is a new kind of a remake of Forward in Christ magazine, and it's going to get a kind of a digital facelift as well. So we have Nicole Balza, one of the editors from that magazine, joining us to talk a little bit about some exciting new things about the Synod's magazine. So tune in next year for that. As Sally mentioned, thank you so much for deciding that we were worth a few minutes of your time. We really do appreciate that, and we hope to see you in 2020. Have a blessed new year, everybody. Bye-bye.